The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Jesus really is stronger, really is greater, really is better. Thanks, team, for reminding us of that. Even when we don't feel that, even when we don't believe that, even when we're in seasons of doubting it, that might even be where you're at today. One of the beautiful gifts of grace given to us is people, God's people, to remind one another, seeing truth back to God over one another. So even on the days where I don't believe that, prone to doubt that, you believing that helps me believe that. That's not my message today. It really is good to be with you. My family and I were able to enjoy a sabbatical this summer. Every 5 years, so full-time pastoral team, every 5 years gets an extended amount of time away. This is proactive for our team, which I'm really thankful about. 8 years ago, the elders decided to make this decision, and so 6 weeks this summer, my family and I were away, and it was great. I learned a lot. A lot I'm still learning. I learned that NyQuil in the Dominican is a lot stronger than NyQuil here. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this publicly, but Tristan and I were away in the Dominican Republic, and day two, we both get sick, which is not what you plan when you get away on a trip. Nonetheless, we made the best of it, and I'm still a little bitter about it, though. The Lord's working on me with that. I learned that it's really hard to come back, and that doesn't mean that I don't love what I do and love the people that I get to share the journey with, but, you know, I kind of feel a little like it's a little bit like retirement life, and it's really difficult to come back, and I just feel like I needed to voice that today. Even though I'm glad to be back, it's still a challenge to come back. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 today. And we'll get there in just a moment. If you're new to Summit, this is pretty much a unique month for us. We're walking through Vision 2030. About 5 years ago, we put a 12-year vision before the people of Summit. Things that we were praying with open hands, asking the Lord, God, in light of who you are, in light of your promise to the church, would you do these things in and among us? And about twice a year, we come back to that vision and we celebrate God's faithfulness. We did that week one. We celebrate God's faithfulness. And then we just kind of remind us, hey, here's some things that we believe we need to grow in or steps that we need to take collectively together. So we're excited to be in that series with you. We'll end that today talking specifically about how we see formation playing out here at Summit. And then next week, we're going to jump into 1 Timothy. We're typically teaching through books of the Bible, and we're excited to jump into our study in 1 Timothy next Sunday. That'll take us to the end of the year. Hey, to get started, though, I want to share a story that I believe captures some of the essence of what we're talking about this month. Like, we're talking about the significance of God's mission for us both individually and collectively as a church. You know, the significance of being formed for mission. Recently, I was reading a biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer's life. If you're not familiar with who that is, he was a German Lutheran pastor and theologian. And there's a scene in one of his biographies where Bonhoeffer is invited to help build an underground church. Basically, it was a resistance movement that refused to give in to the Third Reich, the Nazi regime in Germany led by Hitler. And Bonhoeffer is given this small piece of land with a really tiny building to essentially start what would become known as a formation school. Here he would equip believers on how to live a life of counterformation. This is where he modeled the book Life Together. Some of you might have read that book. This is where he wrote The Cost of Discipleship. Some of you might have read that book. And so during this time, a friend writes Bonhoeffer. He catches wind of what he's doing. And he writes Bonhoeffer because he thinks he's too fanatical. Like, dude, you are way in over your head with this Jesus stuff. You're too zealous for Christ. And so he eventually goes out to meet him because he's sending letters and he's trying his best to talk some sense into him. And he just keeps getting reports that Bonhoeffer is, like, he's just drilling down on this idea of counterformation in the ways of Jesus. So he decides to go out and meet with Bonhoeffer, and his attempt is to talk him into his senses. Stop doing what you're doing, essentially, is the goal. So he meets with Bonhoeffer. After their meeting, Bonhoeffer says, "Hey, I want you to get in the boat with me, and we're going to take a little boat ride." And Bonhoeffer takes his friend in a boat to an airfield where Hitler is training his troops. So they get to the edge of the land where they're going, and they can see planes are taking off, troops are walking in formation. And they get out of the boat, and they walk up this hill, and they look at all of these troops walking in formation. And Bonhoeffer looks at his friend and says, "Do you see their discipline? Do you see their commitment, that their commitment and discipline to something that's so empty and futile?" He says, essentially, the church has lost their zeal. The church has been co-opted. And he puts his arm around his friend and he tells him to turn around, and he points back to where that small little building was, 24 people being formed in the ways of Jesus. He says, "This," pointing at that little building, "must be stronger than that," pointing to Hitler's army. "This must be stronger than that. We must form the followers of Jesus more strongly than Hitler is forming his soldiers." That image has stuck with me. Like, just, it's left an indelible print upon my mind and heart as I think about where we sit in this cultural moment. Thinking about where does the church currently sit within this moment? Specifically, where does Summit sit? Like, who are we? And it's not that we're wondering who we are. We know who God's called us to be, but yet we're so prone to forget. We're so prone to kind of lose sight of the bullseye, which is why we continually come back and remind us of who we are. What are we about, and how are we going to get there? I don't think there's any more critical questions in this moment than we could be answering in these set of questions. The formation of God's people, this must be stronger than that. That being the formation that's happening when we walk outside of this place. And even as I speak this over you this morning, here's what I really do believe is going on. One of the things going on. Some of you hear this and you think, "Well, man, that's idealistic, and that feels completely overwhelming." When we think about our formation in Christ and the mission that God has invited us to participate in, it often feels daunting and even impossible. We think about the realities of our life as we presently sit here this morning, and the notion of growing and maturing and engaging in God's redemptive mission, it can easily feel like, oh, this is just another thing the church is adding to my plate. It's just another thing that they're placing upon my shoulders. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we feel that way. A lot of reasons. I think for some of us, we're aware of our shortcomings. At least many of them we are. We feel our fragility up one day, down the next. Sometimes it doesn't even take us to the next day. Up in the morning, down in the afternoon. Perhaps it's insecurity. Perhaps it's insecurity thinking, can God really work through my life? Perhaps it's a sense of unbelief. Does my formation really matter for eternity? Like what you guys are talking about, what God's going to do in redeeming the world to himself, he's going to do through all Christ's people, the church, and not just a few select perceived spiritual superstars as if they even existed in the first place. Yeah, I mean, that's a question we're often wondering. Can God really work through me? And does my life, does my vocation, does my investment into my children, does it matter beyond anything that's just temporal? Perhaps we're even in a place this morning where we're wondering if God is even worth this kind of devotion. Is it really worth that? I'm not sure I want to give my life to following him in that way. And listen, I'm just sitting with some of this tension that I believe exists in this room, that I believe exists when we have this conversation about God's design for your life and the church specifically. And I want to try to let you off the hook. I want to try to let you off the hook with any potential feelings of inadequacy this morning. Because here's the deal. All of us are inadequate. I'm the last guy that should be standing up here. I'm the last guy that should be standing here talking to you about what we're talking to you about. But you know what? He redeemed my life. He's changed me. And as imperfect as I am, I'm attempting, by the Spirit's help, to lean into what he's called me to do for the benefit of the body. I'm just a piece, a small, small piece in what God's desiring to do in and among his people. I'm trying to let you off the hook this morning to not maybe zone out or drown out the noise of what's coming from the text this morning because you feel like I've got nothing to offer. You're off the hook with that. I also want to let you off the hook if you feel any pressure that the church, this church in particular, is going to place upon you an expectation that's not in line with what is already true of who you are in Christ. I'm going to let you off the hook, because that's not who we are, and that's not what this vision series is about. In just a few moments, we're going to begin to answer the question, how do we at Summit seek to be formed for mission together? If you missed any of the previous messages, some of what I'm going to talk about is probably not going to make complete sense. That's okay. I'm going to try my best to fill in the gaps. Week one, we answered the question, why does the mission matter? It matters because you and I have been reconciled to God for relationship and representation. Last week, we answered the question, what does it mean to be formed for mission? And we clarified the language around our values, intimacy, community, and mission. That when you and I are mobilized to center our life upon these values, that the Spirit of God does something. He produces a particular set of outcomes. And we talked about what those five are. Yes, this morning we do believe. We've been praying strategically about this for over 2 years now. A more clarified pathway of formation for anyone who walks through the doors of this ministry that desires to be a part of Summit. But before we start answering that question, I want to take just a brief moment from the text, and I want to remind you of two, I believe, compelling, beautiful, freeing, powerful reminders, okay? Two powerful, compelling reminders. Regardless of where you are at this morning on your journey, there's two things I want to speak over you today before we talk about the how. Here's the first one. Take heart. Behold our God. He is at work. That's the first one. Take heart. Taking heart is a biblical term that Paul's using to the church in Corinth. And essentially the idea behind take heart is to allow your history, better yet, to allow the record of God's faithfulness to dictate your understanding of your circumstances rather than allowing your circumstances to dictate your view of God. That's what take heart means. So I'm going to take inventory of what? Of who God is. And I'm going to look at His track record. I'm going to look at His character. I'm going to look at His faithfulness. I'm going to look at His beauty. And I'm going to allow that to determine and give understanding to where I'm at and what I'm feeling, what I'm walking through. I want you to take inventory this morning of who He is and allow that to give understanding to where you are. And behold Him. Look to Him. He is at work. You see, we all know what it means to behold something. Do you remember the first time you laid eyes on your very first paycheck? Can you remember that? Some of us in the room, and when we thought, I'll never want for money or anything else again, when you looked at that first number, and you couldn't have been so wrong. What about the first time you laid eyes on the ocean? I mean, that moment where you kind of felt the vastness of God's creation and how finite you are, and it's this moment where you look as far as you can see, and there's something about beholding God's beauty in that compels you to keep going back, to look again. What about, guys, the first look of your bride walking down the aisle? I'll never forget, as a 21-year-old guy marrying a 19-year-old girl, the first time I locked eyes on Tris walking down the aisle at a small Baptist church in Pickens, South Carolina. The profound weight of God's goodness and glory to me in that. Parents, what about the first look when you laid eyes on that child? And you felt the immense weight of God's goodness to you, while at the same time going, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to take care of this. What about the last look of the resting place of a lost loved one? And what you behold there is this desire to capture a moment where maybe you can just get a glimpse into eternity. You and I are very acquainted with beholding, and yet, when it comes to this notion of beholding God, we act like we don't know what we're doing. Right? I mean, it's easy. We behold so much in life, and yet the enemy would love to make you think that when it comes to beholding God, that is less than. Or somehow now you're not equipped enough to do that. You and I know what it means to behold something of value, of beauty, of importance. We know the moments where we have an instinct to just linger here for a little bit longer, to take full advantage of the moment. 2 Corinthians 3, I want to just go back to a text that we were looking at last week, and we're going to read a few portions of Paul's writings to Corinth, to the church in Corinth, in chapter 3 and chapter 4. And I want us to lock in on this notion of beholding our God. Look at verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, are being formed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Now, in this particular section, Paul's picking up on Exodus 34, where Moses is the one man who is given access to come into the very presence of God. He's the only one who could go into the presence of God. He would go in and he would meet with the Lord. And as he would leave and exit the presence of the Lord, he would go out amongst the people and reveal what God had declared to him for those people. And Moses, because he was in God's presence, his face was radiant. It was glowing. And he had to veil his face to go before the people. One, because they were terrified. Two, because Moses knew that over time, this was a fading glory. He had to keep coming back into the presence of God. Face glowing with God's presence, radiating with God's glory, going back out. There was a sense of which Moses was maybe insecure or maybe just looking out for the fact that if the glory fades, the people are going to become disheartened, prone to not think God's steady and good. And what Paul is revealing here in 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, which is a profound reality for you and me, for all who belong to faith in Christ or through Christ, is this: gone is the day where one man has to go into the presence of God on your behalf. Hey, gone is the day where you've got to have somebody to get to God. Gone is that day. Now we all with unveiled face, because our faith in Jesus, if we belong to Jesus by grace through faith, we get to behold his glory. We get to come into his presence. Your coming into God's presence is not built upon or contingent upon anyone. God has removed the veil, brothers and sisters. And we would do well this morning to just take an account of the privilege that we have to behold our God. And if you know him, the Spirit of the living God dwells within you. Paul's going to say this earlier in his first letter. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God, where the Spirit of God dwells within you? And I don't know if we really believe that. I don't know if we really believe that the Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, dwells within us by faith in Christ. It is that same Spirit that gives us eyes to see him, the desire to even look at him and to keep looking at him. The one who does hold absolute sway over our life. It is the Spirit that dwells within us. Long removed is the day where the veil's been removed. You and I have clear access into his very presence. And he says, as we behold him, we're being transformed, being changed, being renewed, being formed in one degree, from one degree to another degree. So here's the beauty of 2 Corinthians 3:18. You want to know how you're formed in the ways of Jesus? Beholding God. The more we look to him, the more we become like him. The more we behold him, the more we are changed. We behold, he transforms. We rest, he works. We surrender, he carries. We abide, he produces. You go, well, how do you know that, Terry? Well, because God himself swore by his own name that it would be so. Did you notice how he ends verse 18? We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want you to know this morning, God is more committed to forming you into the image of His Son than you can imagine. Now, in no way am I trying to shirk the responsibility that you and I have to look and to behold. It's a cooperation. The Spirit comes and invades our life, giving us the gift of faith. We turn to Him by grace, now through faith, and we put our faith and trust in Him, and He transforms our heart, and the Spirit comes and dwells within us. Now He is the one motivating, prompting, bringing to mind all of the realities of what's true in and through Jesus Christ. And we say what to that? Yes to that. Lean into that. Walk in that. Abide in that. We play a pivotal role. Here's the truth I'm elevating before you this morning. Behold Him. He's at work in you. Well, I don't see that. No. I'm not asking you what you see. Behold your God. He's at work. He's committed to you. The veil's been removed. Moses doesn't have to go on your behalf. No priest. Listen, love Israel. But you don't have to go to Israel to behold the presence of God. The presence of the living God dwells within His people. And the reason why that might feel a little distant, a little weird, a little awkward, a little foreign, is because we don't believe it. We really don't believe it. We need to lean into the fact that if we behold Him, God is indeed forming us. God is true to Himself. He's forming us, shaping us. God is making us more and more and more and more like who we were always meant to be. So keep beholding Him until you actually behold Him. We're beholding something. Something's got your gaze. 401k portfolio, the retirement date, the new job, the new house. Something's got it, man. And Paul says, hey, if you've turned to Christ by faith, the veil's been removed and you have freedom. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is ultimate freedom to behold your God. And as you behold your God, He is transforming you from one degree of glory to another. Keep looking to Him until you actually see Him. And then when you see Him, keep looking. Keep looking. Look at chapter 4. I don't even have time to read this. But I want you to, in light of what Paul's just said, I want you to hear these words. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the glory of God, in jars of clay. So now he's going to allude to the fact of the imperfection of God's people. We feel weak. We are weak, but that doesn't void out God's goodness or what God's doing in and through us, right? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. we take account of these profound truths. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Listen, I don't know what you walked into the room with today, but here's what I want you to know. You can take account of God's unchanging character. You can behold Him because He's doing a good work in you. Here's the second reminder. Our call to follow Jesus and to become more like Jesus flows out of our identity with Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Our call to follow Jesus and to become like Jesus flows out of our identity in Jesus. We've been talking a lot about formation. To be truthful, we've been talking about that from the very beginning. And it's been more strategic in this season, I would say specifically over the last year, year and a half. And I'm getting ready to show a video. Kyle Eastet, one of our other elders, is going to put some explanation before us on how we see formation playing out in this season in the life of our church. But real briefly, before he does, I want to remind you of a foundational truth before we talk about some of these discipleship environments. Our discipleship is rooted in our identity in Christ. This is foundational. Here's the principle. We do what we do because of who we are. We do what we do because of who we are. So our willingness and even our ability to center our lives upon the values of intimacy, community, and mission is made possible because of what is already true of us in and through Christ. Let me give you a little bit of explanation. Matthew 28, Great Commission text. Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to go into all the world. And as you go into all the world, you're going to proclaim good news to all people, all ta ethne, all people groups. And in proclaiming good news, you're going to make disciples of all nations. And you're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're going to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And remember this, everywhere you go, I go. I'm with you always. I'm there. I'm forming. I'm shaping. I'm making you into who you've always were meant to be, because all of this is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What Jesus is essentially telling them, as you go and make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit is a way of Jesus telling them, hey, root them in their identity. Root them in who they are. So when we turn to Christ by faith, the veil is removed, and you and I are given a new name. You're given a new name. So I'm specifically talking to the people in the room that have a relationship with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ, by faith alone, through grace alone. Okay, that's who I'm talking to. You're given a new name. And that new name is rooted in your relationship with a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So when we talk about intimacy with God, He says, I want you to baptize in the name of the Father. Why? Because now you are family. I have a new Father. I am a dearly beloved son. We are dearly beloved children. And the way that I know God the Father loves me, loves you, is that He sent His only Son to die on our behalf so that we might become the children of God. I bear an identity as family, because here's the thing, He doesn't just love me. So when you come to faith in Christ, you're given a communal identity as family. You and I are now brother and sister. Guess what? You didn't choose me and I didn't choose you. He's our Father. And we relate to one another now as brothers and sisters. We bear the identity of family. And as family, we get to help one another behold our God. To learn His voice, to learn His ways, to help one another know how to walk the path that He's leading us on. We do what we do because of who we are. As God has loved us, so we learn to live from and demonstrate that love to others. Intimacy with God isn't something that you first do. Intimacy with God is something first of who you are. This is the whole notion of community. He says, baptize them in the name of the Son because we are servants. We're servants. Jesus is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He came not to serve, to be served, but to serve. And Jesus declares, here's how I've come to serve. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to lay down my life as a ransom. I'm going to give it as a ransom for many. So here's what I want to remind you. I want to remind you of your identity in Jesus. When you come to Christ by faith and you turn to Him, we become His servants. And that's not just a call to do something. That is an identity rooted in our relationship with Him. We are beloved children of God. We are servants of the Most High King. Therefore, we serve like Jesus serves. For the good of one another and for the least of these. For the poor, for the broken, for the needy, for the hungry, for the outcast, for the orphan, for the widow. We serve. We learn to give of ourselves for the benefit of others. And we bring a tangible expression of the kingdom of God down to earth to one another and to the world when we serve like Jesus serves. We do what we do because of who we are. As Jesus has served us by laying down His life for us, so we learn to do the same for others. And then there's mission. Baptize them in the name of the Spirit because we are missionaries. Are you tracking with me? I'm reminding you this morning, if you belong to Jesus by faith, I'm reminding you of your identity in Christ and this relationship with the triune God. The power of the Spirit that enabled Jesus to be a witness of God's empowering presence in the world to change everything. That's the Spirit's role. And then when Jesus ascends back to the Father, He comes and indwells His people to be His witnesses. Now, because of our relationship with the Father, rooted in the Son, you and I possess a missionary identity. We are literally called the sent ones, empowered by the Spirit to proclaim good news to the world. Do you believe that? Because that's who Jesus calls you. If you belong to Him by faith, your family, your servants, your missionaries. And we will do what we do based on who we are. As the Spirit empowers us, so we learn to go everywhere God leads us to demonstrate the beauty of the gospel to those who've yet to receive it. Intimacy, community, mission. Don't miss this. All identities rooted in our relationship with God. That the Spirit of God in the midst of the people of God is forming us in and empowering us to live in light of. This is God's design for the church. And the only way you and I will ever be compelled, the only way you and I will ever be compelled to center our life upon these values is if we first learn This is who we are, not what we do. It is who we are. Therefore, we learn to live from that identity. And that's the journey we want to take with you. We want to keep taking with you. And I wanted to take just a brief moment this morning to remind you of those two really important, powerful reminders. Take heart. Look, behold God. He is at work. And anything this church calls you to live in light of, anything this church calls you to step into, lean into, is only the outworking of who you are in Christ. I'm going to go ahead and transition to the how. And I'm going to let Kyle Estep speak to that. We have a video for you to see.
Hey Summit, good morning. I hope your heart is encouraged already. I just wanted to step in at this moment and try to tie in some of the pieces you've already heard with some of the things you're going to continue to hear throughout this fall. And my heart, my hope is that you will see and understand what we long for here is that we would become a people who continue to behold the glory and beauty of God together. Yes, we will be formed individually in that reality, but collectively we could share in beholding God together, growing and maturing in the image of Christ and his likeness, and being formed for the mission that he is accomplishing, that we are invited to actively participate with him in. And so that's the invitation. And some of the environments that you're going to hear us talking about will be familiar, and some of them will be new. Sunday morning gatherings, that's familiar. We love it. We love celebrating God's goodness and his faithfulness. And we invite you to commit to those with us and be a part of that gathering with us as we worship him and celebrate him together and are formed by our worship and our hearing of the word and our encouragement to one another. Love the times we have to gather together. That's one of the environments that we get to participate in regularly. Men and women of Summit connecting at each congregation and then all of the congregations. And some of those already happen, but more happening this fall at each place, and then looking for opportunities to bring the men together and the women together to really find mutual encouragement with one another throughout the year. And you'll be hearing more about that as well. Life groups, we've been spending time all year on life groups, really trying to remission them around intimacy and community and mission, growing and maturing in Christ in the context of really meaningful relationships over time, so that we can continue to live and do life and share life together, but for the sake of those who do not know Jesus Christ, continuing to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And there's a lot of opportunities for you to get connected in life groups right now. So you can sign up for those now through next weekend. They'll be kicking off September 10th. We'd love to have you in community with us in the life group environments that'll be available this fall. In the past, things like classes and Bible studies and gospel roundtables, those are all now under an umbrella we're going to call core classes. Opportunities for us to come alongside you to think biblically, practically, and theologically about how to live skillfully in this world with wisdom and discernment, to think about theological things and cultural and practical things, but to do that biblically and to grow in wisdom and discernment as we live in the culture and the world where God has sovereignly placed us. And we really look forward to that. Have one coming even this fall and more to come. Really looking forward to being a part of those with you as well. We have environments for our kids, environments for our students, all of the ways in which they are continuing, the leaders of those ministries and the volunteers, trying to grow our intentionality with our students and with our children so that they too can grow up in the beauty of the gospel, be formed in relationships, and continue to live where God has them confidently. We're excited about some of the things coming along in the pipeline for kids ministry and student ministry, and hope your hearts will be encouraged by that as well. And then just two new environments where we are encouraged and hopeful that it'll meet you where you are, and for some of you, help you maybe take next steps in your journey with Jesus Christ. Formation groups, will be smaller groups, 4 to 6 people, men discipling men, women discipling women. We look forward to rolling those out slowly over the next 3 to 6 months, really getting those moving with an intentional purpose that we would get those groups together and we collectively would see growth in the outcomes of the values we hold dear here. That we would see growth in enjoying God as we pursue Him. We would see growth by growing in the fruit of the Spirit, engaging our spirit giftedness, stewarding our lives for God's glory and His purposes, and then proclaiming the gospel by inviting people into our stories of grace. We want to grow in those things together. Look forward to inviting you into some new opportunities to experience that here at Summit. And then last but not least, Summit Equip will be something coming next fall. And it's in partnership with the things we've been learning over the last 2 years with Upstate Church Collective, being now able to bring discipleship training and opportunities to you at each of our locations and congregations, and being able to think, what does it look like to be a disciple who makes disciples? And we really want to see all of Christ's people at Summit go through this over time. And so you'll be hearing more about that as it unfolds in the near future. But really excited about all of these environments. Here's what I don't want you to hear me say, or any of us say today. This is not just a list of things you have to do. This is not just us saying, hey, do this and do that, and this is all the things we need from you. This is us inviting you to join the people in the place where you already come and cultivate relationships and have been formed and will continue to be formed. We're going to get in this together. In all of these environments you hear is not a menu to choose from. It's the water we swim in. It's the language we're learning together. It's the environments we're living in together, so that all of us together are growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. We're being formed for His mission. And we are beholding the glory and the beauty of God together and then inviting others to do the same. That's going to be our invitation, to take all of these things and just live in them together over the next several years. They're not going to be paced out super quickly. They're going to be slowly and intentionally paced out so that you can consider where you are in life and what would be an important next step for you. And there will be other environments, other opportunities for college students and young singles, and opportunities for those who want to get specific areas of their life and see growth there, like Fight for Freedom at Cherrydale. And there will be other opportunities for you to be formed, popping up around. All of that's not menu. All of that is invitation to grow together, to be formed for mission together, and to behold the beauty of God together. That's our hope. That's our encouragement. And we hope it's a blessing to you as well as we continue to unveil, unpack, unfold all of those opportunities in the coming weeks and months, and even over the next year. And we want you to be a part of that with us. And we're excited to see what God does with all of that. You're a blessing to us, and we hope the rest of this morning is a constant and continual encouragement that God's up to something in our midst, and we want to join Him there. Come with us.
All right, on your way out today, you're going to receive a paper front and back. On the front side of this document is basically what we have talked about the first 2 weeks. If I were to give you a snapshot of the ministry of Summit, the why of Summit, the what of Summit, it's on this document. You're going to receive that today. On the back, you're going to get a snapshot of everything Kyle just described, okay? There's a lot of details that we're going to be giving clarity to in the coming months. There's a lot of things that questions that I know are probably beginning to be formed in your mind when you hear us talk about some of these things. We're going to be speaking and addressing a lot of those questions that we know you're going to be asking, but also giving you opportunity in smaller settings to ask them so we can all be clear on where it is we're going and why. So be sure you pick up one of these documents. And before we started talking about specific things to easily this fall, we wanted to roll this out and let you just kind of sit with it, okay? Let you understand where we're coming from and why. And there's really 3 quick things I want to speak to. I'm going to invite the team to come back up, and we'll just have a time of response to worshiping the Lord together today. why a broader path of formation? And so I know there's at least two groups of people in the room. There's some people who've been around for a while. And strategically, if you've been around for a while, we early on have our environments were Sunday morning and life groups specifically. Occasionally, we would introduce a class. And now you hear this and think, that's a lot more. And then if you're newer, Kyle already spoke to this, that this is not going to be an introduction of 17 things that you can do each semester. And so it's going to be upon us to clearly lay out the pathway that we're inviting you into. The heartbeat behind various environments for equipping is to be able to meet more people where you are on your journey. So one of the specific reasons of why a broader path of formation is so we can meet you where you actually are and allow you to begin to be formed in that place. That's people who are unsure about your faith, doubting your faith, new to the faith, settled in your faith, wherever you are, wherever you may be. We want to meet you there and help you take your next step. We believe a broader path of formation allows us to raise up and equip leaders within the body to step into these environments and lead. We think this actually gives us a better opportunity to fulfill Ephesians 4, that men and women within the body need to be leading and equipping the body. And we think this opportunity gives us just that, the chance to do that. And then most importantly, we believe a broader path of formation allows us to increasingly become a people who are centering life upon the values of intimacy, community, and mission. That we are a people who are increasingly making our relationship with God our highest priority in the context of meaningful relationships as we step into God's mission of redemption where He has us. So I just want you to know, this is who we are. It's who we're becoming. And it's the journey, it's the path we're inviting you to take with us. Okay? As you leave today and you think about what we've communicated in the document, here's my question to us. And I just want to encourage you to maybe go with this today. Where are you on your journey of formation? So take account of that. One, do you believe in your core identities as family, servants, missionary? Do you believe that? Do you believe that that's who you are and who the Spirit wants to continue to form you into and allow you to live in light of? Do you believe that? If not, maybe that's where you need to do the deepest work today, this week. As you take inventory of where you are, maybe consider what's the next step for me being formed with God's people for the sake of God's mission? What's the step I need to take? For some of you, that's just maybe jumping in with both feet to this community. Maybe you got one foot in, one foot out. Maybe this is the time the Spirit's prompting you to go in. I was going to try to not say it, but to go all in with this people. If you believe the nature of the church rising from Scripture, then you need the people who are in this room, and they need you. It's God's design that He would take imperfect people, needy, dependent people, and form us into the image and likeness of Jesus, which would be a beautiful demonstration to the world of the beauty and hope of the gospel. Where are you? And what's your next step? Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, thank you for this morning and, man, just the opportunity to be with this congregation. I know you are going before us in what we're presenting. There's nothing magical about more environments or intention. There's nothing magical about the environment. It is the Spirit of the living God amongst his people as we behold him that transforms us. We as a leadership are just trying to broaden the spaces where that can actually happen. So I pray that you, God, would go before us into the hearts of each and every individual in this room. God, that they would consider their identity and what you desire to do, informing them deeper into that identity and then allowing them to live in light of that for the sake of this church and your mission, which is all for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.